ago, but a couple of us, Mike Rice and Jason and myself, we'd asked several of the people to go, but the three of us made a commitment to go to Dominican Republic. And it's an island not too far from here. It's, I don't know, maybe a 2.5 hour flight. And we made a decision to serve the Lord for a week together. And we partnered with another church, Faith Assembly, which is our sister church, which has been a great blessing to City Church. Really, it was one of the churches that was responsible for helping us start almost 13 years ago. And Jason and myself and Rice, Mike Rice, and the team from Faith, we spent a week together. I got some pictures I want to show. We went to a place called Cima del Rey. And Cima del Rey is a retreat center, basically, for churches in the country of Dominica. We have about 600. Hang on, just go back. Oh, good. There are about 600 churches in the country of Dominica that are affiliated with the Assemblies of God. And there's a great move of God. Jason, why don't you tell me what this is right here?
Good morning, church. This is us having morning devotions. One thing that actually Buddy Simpson, who started the MAPS ministry over at Faith 20 years ago, went on his first trip, and the power of God fell on him and said, before you do any buildings, before you do any work, before you do any construction, I want you to spend time with me. And that's stuck over at Faith, and it's something that we got to participate and taste this week. And this is morning devotions. Before we do anything, we'll eat. Sometimes we won't eat, but this time we ate first, then we had just go seek the face of God.
And it was a couple
power of God power fell. God. Every morning, it was powerful,
really
powerful.
And for me, because I'm a worker, I want to get going.
Yep.
Yeah, we did like an hour and a half.
Can I say that?
Yeah.
He said that a few minutes ago. Oh, thanks for letting me go and have a week off. Come on, this guy is a worker. I was very, very impressed. Give it, yes. And I want to publicly say that man, he's a hard worker. And that's a week off. I'd hate to see a week on.
But this was a powerful time in the morning, and we prayed and worshiped, prophesied, words of encouragement. It was a great week. See the next picture there? I think this is you and your dad. Yep, that's...
That's my dad. It's been all over the world building churches for God.
Getting ready to
lay. It's a real honor to work with him.
Yeah, we laid up. Basically, what we did is, on the work part, we laid a huge... How big was the slab that we poured?
I guess it was probably about 5,000 square feet. And so we poured a slab from that end, and then come back the other way, and that's what we did every day. We prepped the dirt and stone, and it's Pastor Eugene. They brought it in concrete trucks.
That's what I did. I had my destiny for the whole week. That was it. I had a real...
And he worked. Wow. He led the charge. When everybody was petering out around lunch or two or three, here come Pastor Eugene.
Keep going, man.
Kept putting fuel in the truck.
And there's Mike. And Mike, what a great blessing.
Yes.
Mike and Jason worked together on this project. You guys really worked
well. Yeah, Mike was a huge blessing.
I got to say, the guys from City Church made it happen. Come on.
There's some of the locals. Handful of those guys got saved this week, baptized down in the river. Amen.
We got to talk about this. This is actually... We ended up baptizing 7 people.
Yes.
But we had about 5 of these men on the job site the last day on Thursday. I don't even know how it happened. I don't know where I was at, but at that moment, but they started talking to him about the Lord.
Yes.
And at the very last day, they asked if they wanted to receive Christ. Yep. And these are these men. You can see them. They're raising their hand to receive Jesus.
Yes.
Come on, let's give
Amen.
God a big hand. And I don't have any pictures. I don't have any pictures, but there is a river. It's maybe about 400 yards from this site where we're at right now.
Beautiful.
And we took them right down to the river, and we baptized them, and the Holy Spirit showed up.
Can I just say,
no, go ahead.
I've never, you just kind of hear of the old school, go to the river, and it was like that, man. There was all the nationals, all the Americans, we're on the riverbank. We're singing songs, Amazing Grace, all these old hymns. And Pastor Eugene was down there with Pastor Marcos, and the power of God fell so heavy. It was incredible.
Wow.
The people, they're just in tears. You know, they're down there getting ready to be baptized. Pastor Eugene Marks speaking prophecy, words of life over these guys, nationals and the Americans. And it was just awesome.
It was awesome. Awesome. I think we got maybe one more picture here. And we did have some fun.
Yes, we did. We had some fun and fellowship, and that's a huge part of this. And what I'm believing, Pastor Eugene's believing for our church, is to get away a little bit, seek God, give unto others. It's more blessed to give than to receive. and have just some fellowship. We'd stay up all night, half the night.
Playing dominoes.
Eugene led the charge on that. Holy cow. Where do you get
we
it?
We work hard and we play hard. Amen? Come on. We can have fun serving Jesus.
Yeah, we did. Play dominoes, cards, hang out, talk.
It's hard to express. I mean, pictures, you know, yeah. It's very, very difficult. We had a Sunday night service last Sunday, and God showed up there in a powerful way. We'll have some more.
Hang on. The service Sunday night, it was incredible. Pastor Eugene, again, just his day off, preached his heart out. 45 minutes, an hour. It was powerful. Everybody out of the church to the altar. Healings. Little children. They had tons of little kids. The little girls would sit on this side. The little boys on this side. And the little kids seeking God, getting slain in the spirit. It was
God showed up.
It was awesome.
And the people were outside. You know, they were completely surrounded the building. The building was completely packed. They were outside, and they had the windows open. People looking in the windows, out in the street. And there's and Domenica, man, out the street, it's alive. I mean, people doing all kinds of things, and they were out there worshiping. It was just an incredible time. Tell me, we have something. We're actually going to be taking this church on a trip. Why don't you tell us when that is, and would you challenge people here to go to this?
Would love to. As you had seen a couple weeks ago at Easter, Brother Joe, who's been all over the world, his heart's now in Cuba and in Africa. We're going to go partner with him, and we're going to build a church in Cuba, as Pastor has talked about. And the dates on those are
December 1st
through the 8th. And I'm going to be out back. So if anybody has any questions, please come see me or Mike Rice. I'm going to be out after this service to answer any questions, to speak with you more detail about that trip.
Amen. Thanks,
and,
Jason.
Let me give you one challenge if I could.
Okay.
The Word of God says over in James, and I challenge you guys, and I see a lot of young people here, and I'm telling you, these trips can change your life. They will change your life. I got to take my buddy from Atlanta this week, and I know I've looked at a couple of you guys and said, hey, this will change your life, my buddy's texted me 5 times and been, I can't believe this has changed my life. I can't believe this changed my life. And what changed his life was giving, going, and encountering God. Amen?
Amen?
So let me challenge some of you guys this morning, and ladies too. This next trip's not going to be co-ed, but we will do co-ed, and would love to have husband and wives, men and women go. But in James 2:17 it says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. So I want to challenge you guys this week, challenge you today for looking forward to Cuba, to go, to live out your faith. That one picture of all those guys getting saved, that was just simply living out our faith. Working alongside of those brothers that worked so hard with such, we could learn something from them, a beautiful attitude.
Great
attitudes. Those guys never got frustrated, and we worked hard. I've seen people all over the country. We'll run nationals off because we work so hard, because we're so focused. We got things to do. Those guys stayed with it from 7 o'clock till whenever we'd finish, 6, 7, 5, whatever it was. But I challenge you, exercise your faith with works. Amen.
Amen.
And let's go to Cuba and spread God's love.
Come on, amen. Amen. Thanks, Jason. Amen. Well, we've had a great service already, but the best is yet to come. And I want to welcome this morning, I want to introduce a young man over the last 5 years, it just served this house, served this church so faithfully. He's one of the great young preachers in America today. He's known all over the state of Florida. He's right here in our own house. He's our own son. And this morning he's going to bring the Word of God to you. So without further ado, I want to welcome Pastor Glenn Eubanks. City Church Welcome.
Thank you. Well, you thought you came to church today. Okay, welcome to part two of Family Matters. Help, my family's not what I want it to be. And today we are talking about marriage. So if you are married today, open up your ears. If you are not married and you plan on being married, perfect service to be in. If you have in-laws or if you are an in-law, perfect service to be in. If you have parents who are married, you are in the right spot today. Everybody's going to hear something that you need to hear today. And so I just want to welcome you, glad you're here, and just to remind you that next week we are talking about parenting. Don't forget to write your parenting questions on the back of the yellow card, of the connection card. And Pastor Eugene and Laura are going to talk about raising champions for God. But without further ado, let's play the newlywed game.
From Hollywood, here come the newlyweds. Yes, it's the newlywed game.
Gentlemen, what is the most exerting thing that you do around the house? The most exerting thing, Ron?
Getting up in the morning.
Getting up in the morning. And Ellen thought you would say housework.
What? I don't do housework.
Henry.
Well, I guess cleaning up or picking up my clothes.
Picking up your clothes? Terry predicted you'd say picking up your clothes right for 5 points. Everybody has scored now. Bob, you can add five more to that stand right here.
I guess taking the trash out.
Taking the trash out? Judy predicted you would say picking up your clothes. No points. Larry?
Playing the guitar.
Playing the guitar. Paula thought you'd say taking out the garbage. Does that have anything to do with his guitar playing?
Well, I never take the garbage out.
Oh, you never take it out.
Wouldn't mind if
he
took his guitar out.
Oh. You're saying his guitar is garbage. Is that what you're saying?
Well.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you put your hands together and welcome your host, Glenn Eubanks. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, welcome to the Newlywed Game. I am your host, Glenn Eubanks. Glad you're here. And the rules are very simple. Welcome, couples. The rules are very simple. We're going to send the guys out of the room. We're going to ask the women some questions. The goal is that you're going to try and answer the response that your husband would make. We're going to bring the guys back into the room. Whichever couple gets the most answers exactly the same, will each get 10 points for each answer. The couple with the most points at the end wins the game. Ladies and gentlemen, audience, are you ready to play the newlywed game? Well, let's do this. Are you ready to meet your contestants today? That was weak. Are you ready to? We're on live air right now. Okay. Are you? Okay. First up, we have Kelly and Eric Scott. Kelly and Eric have been married for 4 years. They met in childhood. They have two twin boys, Aiden and Blake. They'll be 2 years old at the end of June. The beginning of June. I apologize. Random fact, when Kelly was younger, she used to assist Eric's mom. She used to work the concession stand just to see Eric play football. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Eric and Kelly Scott. Next, we have Dennis and Jana Crater. They have been married for 24 years. They met at Lee and Rick's Oyster Bar in Winter Park, Florida. They have four children, Andrea, Elizabeth, Randy, and Dennis. Random fact, they finish each other's sentences and seem to think many of the same thoughts. They also slightly look alike. Ladies and gentlemen, Dennis and Jana Crater. Next, we have Marcus and Don Goss. They've been married for 20 years. They met at Bryan College. They have three children, Peyton, Aubrey, and Marcus Jr. Random fact, after 20 years of marriage, Don will only fold Marcus's underwear squarely, whereas Marcus still requests that they be rolled. This is a major controversy in the Goss family. Would you welcome Marcus and Don Goss? Well, let's dive right into it. Guys, would you stand up to your feet? And we'll let you leave so that we can ask the ladies some questions. And while we're doing that, check out these short messages.
I'll get even with that Betty Clark. Just wait. The nerve to say my wash was second rate. I'm sorry, Janie, but I'm right. You're wrong, Betty. My wash is clean and white. It could be better than clean and white. better. Now you can get Clothes Bright. Bright with Vogue. Vogue, the new detergent Vogue. It's Procter & Gamble's new laundry sensation. There's nothing like Vogue, new power combination. White, green, and blue power, grand, you'll see. Try Vogue in your washer, and you'll see it get dirt out. For whiter white, pinker pink, purpler purple. Now what do you think? It's better than clean, better than white. My laundry's bright, bright. Bold extra power gets clothes bright. I'm sold on bold.
And we're back. Okay, ladies, how are you today? You doing good? Great. All right. Awesome. I have three questions for you. We're going to dive right into this. Question number one is, where did you go on your first date? What do you think your spouse's response will be to that? Where did you go on your first date? First date. Kelly has an advantage. She's only been married for 4 years. We don't need the address. No, it's okay. She did put the address in there. Are you ready to give your answers? Go ahead. You can share them. Kelly, what would you say? A crane's roost. That sounds very romantic. Did he pay?
He did.
That's good. That's good. Jana, what would you say? Does that say FBI? Is it? I know of it more as an organization. I'm not. Got it. Okay, great. FBI. Yes, yes, Don. What would you say?
If he thinks this is the first date, a restaurant in Chattanooga.
Restaurant in Chattanooga. Okay. All right. Question number two. What is the most annoying thing your spouse would say you do? They have never heard these questions, by the way, just to let you know. They don't know these. What would you say is the most annoying thing your spouse would say you do? Give them all just a minute here. Don, are you ready? Good. What would you say?
One of many, but probably crunch eyes.
Okay, crunch eyes. Yes, Jana.
Nag him.
Nag him. Yes, Kelly.
Not peppy in the morning.
Okay. All right, not peppy in the morning. Number three, last question. What would your spouse say is the most romantic date to him? What would be the most romantic date to your spouse? No, just in general. What would be his most romantic date if he would come up with one? Most romantic date that he would come up with. Yes, Kelly?
Staying home.
With a smile face. I like that. Yes, Jana, are you ready?
Oyster dinner.
Oyster dinner. He does love oysters, yes. Yes, Don?
An encounter weekend, but not the men's encounter.
Ah, okay. So you took the romantic date to a whole weekend. That was it. I like that. I like how that happened. Okay, well, let's bring the guys back in. While we're doing that, take a check out. What am I supposed to say here? Go to the commercials. Is that it? We'll be in. What is it? Right after the
Harvey.
Whatever.
Harvey, want anything special for your birthday?
Just a decent cup of coffee.
You're kidding.
I'm serious, honey. Your coffee's undrinkable.
It's pretty harsh.
Well, so's your coffee. You know, the girls down at the office make better coffee on their hot plates. Well, see you later.
And he didn't even kiss me goodbye. You know, if I could just make a decent cup of coffee, I could relax.
So, relax. Why don't you try Instant Folgers? Tastes good as fresh perked.
Good as fresh perked? I'll surprise Harvey for his birthday tonight.
Hey, great coffee.
It's Instant Folgers. Doesn't it taste good as fresh perked?
Better.
Better than those girls make at the office.
Honey, their coffee can't hold a candle to yours.
Instant Folgers taste good as fresh perked. Try it.
And we're back! Oh, my goodness. Great. Now we're going to get the most embarrassing things out of you. Are you ready? I'm excited. Okay, question number one to the husbands is this. Where did you go on your first date? Where did you go on your first date? You can answer with the mic. Make sure that it's flipped up. Make sure it's on. Who would like to go first? Eric, where did you go?
We went to Mimi's Cafe.
Mimi's Cafe. Is Mimi's Cafe an answer? They got an answer. 10 points to the Scots. Yes, Dennis, where did you go on your first date?
I think it was Fairbanks Inn.
The Fairbanks Inn, yes. Marcus is nervous. Marcus, where did you go on your first date?
I think it was a restaurant in Chattanooga.
Oh, my goodness. What? You want to show her? Show her. There it is, restaurant in Chattanooga. Wow, we're 3 for 3 right now. This has never happened on the Newlywed Game with me as host. This is amazing. Number two, what is the most annoying thing your wife does? You're trying to get a strategy right now, aren't you? Figure out, is it worth the 10 points? Should I just not even go there? Eric, what would you say is the most annoying thing Kelly does? Don't look at her. I don't know if that would help.
Doesn't make a decision?
Doesn't make a decision. Oh, okay. Question number. What did Kelly respond? Not peppy in the morning. I don't think that's gonna go. Right, rule book. Okay, no, it's not going to work. There's nobody. Dennis, what would you say is the most annoying thing that Jana does?
Nagging.
Nagging. Do we have an answer? Yes. 20 points. Marcus is like, why did I sign up for this? How did this happen? What would you say?
You said it earlier, but she probably didn't say this, but the fact that after 20 years I haven't been able to get her to properly fold my underwear.
Oh, that would have been a good answer. What did you say? Crunch ice. Apparently Marcus loves the way you crunch ice. That was never a big deal. He loved that. Number three, last question. What would you say is the most romantic date to you? And not necessarily a date that you've been on. Just if you were going to have the most romantic date for you as a man, what would it be?
I guess that's me, right?
Yeah, that would be you. Yes, sir.
Well, it definitely would involve dinner. So maybe dinner at the house.
Dinner at the house. Staying home. That works. Got 20 points. Yes, Dennis. And Dennis, what would you say?
Most romantic for her or
for you?
For me.
For you, yes.
It'd probably be somewhere in the mountains, and breakfast in bed in the mountains. I don't know.
Breakfast in bed in the mountains. What did Jana say? I can't even see it. Oyster dinner. An oyster dinner. That is not a match. Marcus, what would you say?
Probably going to be wrong. A nice dinner in a movie.
A nice dinner in a movie. Don was thinking maybe something a little bit different. An all-weekend love encounter.
That would work.
That would work, huh? Now, help me out. I'm only a host. I'm not very good at numbers. How many did you get right? Two. How many did you get right? Two. And you got one. So, So, Dennis and Jana and Kelly and Eric are our winners. Would you give them a hand today? All right. Now, we're all winners. Everybody's a winner. And in these short moments right here, I want to share with you, we're going to talk about marriage just a little bit here. I'm going to leave the couples up here, and we're just going to have a dialogue, a conversation on marriage today. My goal in this short time is not necessarily to give you a lot of information, but rather, honestly, my goal is that we would be candid and open, and that this conversation would enter into your cars, but intern to your family, you could really talk about some of this stuff this week. And so I really pray that this that God would speak to you through some of these questions. And by the way, we had a lot of comments in our connection card this last week, and so I just really want to say thank you for that. We had probably maybe over 30 or 40 questions come in. I've taken some of those questions and formed them into just a few so that we could get as many in as possible. But some of you had really great questions, and we have a marriage class happening right now on Wednesday nights. And so some of those questions that you had are not going to be answered here because they're too in-depth. But I want to tell you, if you didn't get your question answered, come to our marriage class this Wednesday night at 7 p.m. here at the airport campus. We'd love to see you there. Well, let's go ahead and dive right into this. Question number one is to the wives. What is the number one thing you are looking for in your husband? What would be the number one thing you're looking for in your husband? Anybody can answer.
I would say it's always been security and sense of humor.
Security and sense of humor. That's good. Kelly, or Don, you guys can answer too.
I thought about that, whether it was pre-marriage or even during marriage, if that would change. But mine has always been that I would have a godly leader, someone to challenge me to stay before the Lord.
That's good.
And I'd probably say somebody who's like sensitive to my needs, somebody that understands where I'm coming from and can respect that.
Very good. Let's go over to the husbands. What is the number one thing you're looking for in a wife? You guys can kind of bounce off of each other. If you say one, you could go somewhere else on it, no problem. And anybody can start.
I would say that mine has changed slightly. We were talking a little bit, and before we got married, I really wasn't necessarily thinking about Dawn being a great mom. But, you know, as we've had kids, that's certainly become more important to me, and she certainly fulfilled that.
Definitely. That's good. That's a good answer. Yes, Dennis Orr.
Just over the years, she's my balance, and I like that because I think when you're young, you're a little bit more self-absorbed. But as you are married for a longer time, that your concerns aren't your own. They're more concerns for your wife, and she's the same way. So we like to try to outdo each other as far as just pleasing each other.
That's good. That's awesome.
Yes. Yeah, I definitely say balance or support. The fact that there's a different perspective than mine sort of helps us through situations. I know that she's always there, and I know that she always has something to say about everything.
And definitely as men, we want to be respected, as I'm sitting here in a bow tie and glasses. I mean, am I right? I mean, we love that. Ladies, we love to be respected. We cherish that. Let's go to question number three. I have quite a few questions here. We're not going to probably be able to get through all of those today. We got a little bit of a ring somewhere. Question number three is this. The Bible says in Proverbs, it talks about that to be ever satisfied with your spouse. And let me just ask this question very simply. Anybody can answer. But how have you been able to keep the fire burning?
I'll answer.
Okay.
We're young.
We're young.
No, I think that really it's carving out that time. I mean, we have twin boys who are about to turn two, and they both go in two different directions. So it definitely takes a lot of time just to take care of them. So it's really important that, you know, we adhere to a bedtime with them, and then we just have some downtime together before, you know, we go to bed and have to start a crazy day again. So it's just carving out that time and a lot of communication, you know, being able to talk to your mate and tell them what you need and what's going on, and it just kind of creates that bond.
Awesome. Any other thoughts? Don't worry, because if you say something wrong, she'll balance you out, so no problem. She'll just...
It works that way.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Over the years, we got involved with marriage seminars. Gary Smalley was really great. And you would get encouragement from other people to, you know, maybe look at things differently. And we went to marriage seminars and just learned different things that over the time. And just encouragement from our church family. And it helped keep our fire going and kept us loving
each other. So definitely having moments to get away.
Oh, yeah. Maya, you got to. I mean, someone asked me, how can I afford to go on vacation all the time? I said, how can I not afford to? I mean, you got to have time away with your family, away from the normal everyday, you know, grind. And that keeps things fired up, puts your mind in a different situation, and different light. So
very good. Yeah. Gosses,
we,
anybody?
We okay. never let our children or anybody else undermine our relationship. We put each other first, and our decisions were made together, and that has always helped, because it's a mutual respect. It's always helped us to love each other because we have each other's back.
That's good. Good. Gosses, would you like to share anything?
Well, kind of along the lines of what they said, I mean, I think you just have to be intentional, and you have to realize that your mate and your marriage is important, and it's more important than your children. It's more important than life. And I think a lot of times you start having kids and you can see yourselves, one or the other of you, going down that road or whatever the road or work, whatever it is, but you got to realize you can't wait. You know, there might not be tomorrow. You might not be able to wait till your kids graduate. That's you good. Might not be able to wait till they get out of kindergarten. So make it intentional.
Yeah, and it sounds like when you really make it intentional, the gratitude for each other never leaves, probably. That's good. I like that. Question number four. This would be more to the men, but ladies, you can comment in if you'd like to. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, I'm going to use some key principles from Proverbs. It says that a righteous man leads a blameless and a pure life. And what are some ways that you've been able to stay pure in a corrupt culture, being married?
I guess for me, it's understanding that this wasn't an arranged marriage. I actually picked her. So I think knowing that.
Your marriage was not arranged?
It was not arranged.
I
think. You might ask my mother-in-law, but I think the point that I actually had a choice to make and I chose to be married to her, that
yeah.
makes the purity a lot easier.
That's good. Any other thoughts?
You know, I think that obviously what I'm getting ready to say is going to sound simple, but... you know, you need to guard your mind and your eyes, and I haven't always been successful at that, but over the past several years, I have really focused on having thoughts about my wife and storing up pictures in my mind of her and things we've done, places we've been, and it's a whole lot harder to let your mind slip and go a different direction when you're thinking about the person that you love more than anything.
That's really good. Very, very good. Yeah, that was so good. And so what I'm hearing is it's not just about being on the defense, it's about going on the offense for your wife. And so it's the combination. And if either way, even if we go on the offense with our wife, we still have to stay on defense. So it's really both, right? We never stop playing defense and offense. And then we win. We win, and our kids win. Hey, I missed one that definitely somebody commented in last week, and I wanted to get to. What is one, really quickly, one low-cost date night? Just keeping the fire burning. I missed that one. Yes, Dawn?
Even before we had kids, when we had plenty of time, we would grab Boggle or Pictionary, and we would just bring it into our bedroom on the bed and sit there and play like a board game together, and then, you know, from there, sometimes... We would conk out. Sometimes we would extend our board game, and it was just like a fun, cheap night. So,
Very cool.
In technology, you don't need to go to a movie. You can stay right at home and just do something fun and get competitive, you know, and make little divs for this. You know, well, if you win this one, you give me a back rub or just something like that, real simple,
yeah.
And it's fun.
Very good. Any other thoughts real quick, and we'll move on.
We just like to pack a picnic every now and then and just get down to the lakefront, whatever, just something simple. Go to a park somewhere and be able just to be together.
Good. Got one?
I think as of late, we've taken up biking a lot more, and so it's just fun to find a trail, and we'll bike, and we bike next to each other and talk about things, and it's pretty cool.
Very cool. Okay, question number five. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, it talks about the tongue brings healing, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. That could definitely be applicable within our marriage. What would be one or two rules to communicating in a healthy way?
Don't nag.
Some do's or don'ts. Don't nag. All right, now the balance. Let's get the balance here. Give me that mic.
We always choose to think the best of each other, and we never say...
As he said, don't nag.
We never. And remember, he has a sense of humor, and so do I. So we keep it in perspective. But we never say the word divorce. We chose that as never coming out of our mouths. And
Amen.
Yeah. And encouraging each other.
That's good.
I wouldn't be where I am right now as far as in my business and in my life without her encouraging me. When I come home from work feeling like a whoop dog, she'll tell me what a good job I'm doing. And over the years, I mean, that means a lot in your marriage.
Yeah.
Encouragement.
That's good. Very good. Any other do's and don'ts? Right. Yes, Don.
I would say don't spout off at the mouth as quickly, especially if you're an emotional person. I tend to be. So allow yourself that time to go. And I'm not saying that you can't, you're going to get angry in your marriage at each other. We're all human. But to allow yourself time to, you do 10 times less harm when you keep your mouth closed than when you open it. So just allowing yourself before you have that major discussion to kind of process it through.
That's good.
And along those same lines, be selective in when you have your big discussions. You know, I tend to be, if we have a disagreement, I want to talk about it right now.
Right then.
And it's not the best time for sure. And I may make multiple trips back to the Dawn to talk to her, and that's not helping the situation. That's just putting gas on the fire. So, you know, gain time and then think about it. Don't talk about it right before you go to bed is not the right time to have a deep, in-depth discussion, and I still haven't figured that one out. But
yeah, I haven't either. So, hey, real quick, when you have problems with your spouse, how do you resolve it? We have issues. We slightly talked about that just a little bit.
You usually try to, you know, cool down a little bit, and then...
Is that what you guys do?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, sometimes, depends on what it is, it takes a little bit of cool down time. And I think the hardest thing to do is to pray with each other, because when you're mad, it's like, and that's exactly what you need to be doing. But that's what we figured out is you have to get over yourself and take it to God, and that usually puts the flames out, puts the fire out. You know,
it's good, very good.
Yeah, I think along the lines of what Marcus said before, it's understanding our different communication styles. When we have an issue, I want to go and fix it right now, and she wants to put me in the penalty box 5 minutes first. So I think it's just understanding that and
it's good
changing.
Very good. Let's move to, I want to get through these last two questions here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 talks about the love of money is the root of all evil. And what is one principle that's been helpful in handling the issue of money in your marriage?
It's all God's. I have it because he allowed me to get it. It's not mine. He just wants 10%. We've always been on board with that. It's and it's fun giving it away when you, every chance you can.
Yeah.
We like to bless other people.
Yeah. But let's be honest. There's times when you feel like the Lord's speaking to you, or let's say about giving it away, and then your spouse may not be in the... How do you get on the same page when it comes to saving money or giving money or spending money?
We haven't always been successful, but when it's coming from God, it's very interesting that we do hear the same thing. So, for instance, you know, maybe a dollar amount will be laid on my heart to give to a young couple or something that... And sometimes I'm apprehensive to take it to him because it's all, you know, money is always tight for us. Everybody lives that way. But I'll just go humbly and say, I believe the Holy Spirit said this. And I don't think there's ever been a time that we weren't in agreement on helping somebody or doing something or putting money aside for something.
That's good. Would you guys, either one, like to?
When we first got married, we weren't strong tithers, and we were probably married for a few months, and God really told us that we needed to get on board with that. And we've just seen how by being obedient and coming together and tithing faithfully on our gross every paycheck, that God's really just been able to kind of release our funds a little bit. It's not been as tight, and you know, we're not down to the penny praying for Friday to show up so we can go get groceries. You know, like, God's been really faithful to take care of us with that. And so because we put our trust in that, it's made things a lot easier.
And isn't it amazing, every time before you tithe, you don't get it, and then the moment that you tithe, you know why? Because the Bible says that there's a blessing upon the rest of your money. And it's not just a blessing on the money, it's a blessing on the person that has the money. And so everything changes in your marriage, right? I mean, we all can agree when, at that moment, and probably all of us at some point or another, as we're serving God, we're not sure about tithing. We're not sure about tithing, and we do it, and it's like, oh, my goodness. Wow, this is the blessing of God upon our lives. That's really, really good. Let me go to question number 7 here. And I think it's all we have time for today. Proverbs 22 talks about training up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will never depart from it. How do you focus on keeping your marriage a priority while raising children?
I think that you need to have your own personal priorities in order. For us, or for me, it was always God. In my mind, I had God. Then it would be my spouse, and then my children. At the same time, I'm able to realize that God wants us to all have healthy. And so when you're denying a child's needs, there's something lacking, or your spouse's. So I think God will give you grace if you have a pure motivation that you want to be the best mother or the best wife you can be. And you have to get creative and learn how to divvy out and meet maybe the most important needs, and not, you know, that nothing's lacking. But sometimes you have to prioritize, and you have to get rid of the extra stuff in your life. When you, you know, when you're first married, some of your friends may drop off because you are spending time with just a spouse only. Then when the children come, there's even maybe, you know, and I'm not saying drop everybody, but you really have to hone in on those first priorities, and there's some other ones that go on down the line.
That's good. So what I'm hearing is having some real core values, just as we talked about last week's message, really developing core values that will dictate where we're going. Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. Very good.
I think playing off of what Don said, just remembering that our marriage came before our children. In order for us to have healthy children, we have to have a healthy marriage.
That's right.
So we have to keep ourselves first, and then our children will benefit from that.
That's right. Because if the enemy can take your marriage, he's got your family. And if he takes family, he's got culture, right? Amen. That's so good. Because what God blesses, what God ordains, the enemy attacks. And so we know that we've got to have great roots in that area. Dennis and Janet, you got any last? Actually, that was good enough. No offense, because I want to give you last. I want to rather do this. Okay, just final thoughts. You got about 30 seconds. What you'd like to share, everybody, when it comes to marriage? Just a final thought on. It could be whatever you would like it to be. From you, one final thought to.
I would just say at an early on, if you stay focused on the Lord, you might even think. I remember thinking, oh, here's who I want for marriage, but I always had God knew my heart, the kind of person I wanted to be, my husband and my father. We have benefits as his children, and I so benefited by marrying him. I realize that more and every day. So if you trust in him, he's going to give you the desires of your heart and give you more than you thought you wanted, because he knows better than you do.
It's good. Yes, from the creators, or Scott's, whoever.
I think the biggest thing that has impacted our marriage is the power of prayer. And there was times in our lives when we didn't pray at all together early on. And he blesses our household every single day before he goes out. There's not a day that doesn't go by that we don't grab our hands before he goes out the door and pray over our marriage and our family and our extended family. So I think that's the thing that's brought us really together.
And I think really for good. Us, obviously we're relatively new at the marriage game compared to these. But just to continue to trust God that he's got somebody available for you. And I guess I'm speaking more of the single people, but God's got that perfect person out there for you, and not to put him in a box and give him this list of who you think, because he definitely broke the box for me. I mean, he's got such great characteristics that I didn't even ask for, but God knew that I needed. So, you know, stay strong and stick with it, because God's got somebody for you.
Amen. That is so good. Can we give them a hand? So you guys can stay right there. Well, our ushers are coming forward. We're going to receive our offering and give to God today. And as you're preparing yourself to give today, you know, I was just thinking this week about, you know, when it comes to tithe and when it comes to offerings, sometimes in the natural, it doesn't all make sense. And how many of y'all have had a day where you had so much on your plate, you just had no way of ever getting through it? You're like, I got to hit the ground running right away. Almost every day of my life feels like that. Especially this last week, there was one specific day where I just looked at my wife in the morning. I'm like, there's no way I could get through anything that I have to get done. And you know what I did? I just, as much as my flesh didn't want to, I just decided to give an hour to God. Like, I just said, you know, I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to wake up early, spend time with the King. And it was amazing how everything else just kind of like it throughout the day just worked. Have you ever had that happen in your life? If you haven't, I'd really ask you to try that. And that exact same principle is totally the way with God when it comes to tithes and offerings, isn't it? Is that we're, God, we'd have no idea how this is all going to work out, but Lord, we're going to take the time, we're going to trust in you, and it just works out.